Okay. So I'm going to talk today about the relationship between housing stability and mental health, and also a couple of other factors that we believe contribute to housing stability following Hurricane Katrina. You're probably all very familiar with Hurricane Katrina, but I'm just going to give a bit of background because I think that these factors are important to understand in order to know why housing stability was such an important topic following Hurricane Katrina. So, first, the devastation and destruction from Katrina remains unmatched in modern U.S. history. $108 billion worth of damage. It displaced 1.5 million residents across the Gulf Coast, which was the largest displacement since the 1930s Dust Bowl migration. And residents found themselves in states as far away from the Gulf Coast as Colorado, Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina, Texas. The list goes on and on. So I'm going to use the Gulf Coast Child and Family Health Study, which is a study that we did shortly after Hurricane Katrina. It takes place in both Louisiana and Mississippi. It was funded by the Children's Health Fund. It follows 1,079 households from 2006 to 2009, so it's four waves of data. And I can't stress how rare this is for a disaster cohort that we are able to collect four waves of data. Like I said, residents from Louisiana and Mississippi, nearly all of them were displaced. And the reason why this is also a special data set is that typically disaster research is cross-sectional due to budget issues or the difficulty in finding residents after a traumatic event. And they typically focus on the aftermath of an event. And this GCAF is different because we have a longitudinal cohort, we're able to ask many different types of questions, which I'll review on the next slide. And we were able to retain 88% of the initial study cohort, which is also pretty impressive considering the damage and destruction from Katrina. So here are some of the study measures that we were able to include in GCAF. We have housing and relocation status, health status, including physical and mental health, access and use of health services, attitudes and behaviors regarding social institutions, and personal sense of self-efficacy, resilience, and perceived recovery. So just to give you an idea of who we have in our sample, where they're from, Louisiana and Mississippi, you can see that at each wave, about 75% or better retention rate, and this retention rate includes only those who are eligible at each wave, so it doesn't include people who were maybe incarcerated or had passed away. And by wave four, which is the data set that I'm focusing on in this analysis, we had almost 88% retention rate. Here's some basic respondent characteristics from baseline, and I've separated this into Louisiana, those from Mississippi who were displaced, and those who were community-based in Mississippi, and that actually means that people were in highly damaged communities, yet they were not displaced themselves. So you can see that overall we have a majority of female respondents, and this is mostly because we ask the person who knows the most about the household to answer the survey questions. You can see that race varies tremendously when we look at by state. Mean age, it's about 45 to 50, so not too much variation there. Definitely a lot of variation in terms of being married or partnered. And you can see that in terms of Louisiana, highly impoverished population, nearly 40% earning less than $10,000 a year annually. Also in Louisiana, we have a high rate of people born in the state, which you can imagine creates difficulties in terms of when you're displaced, you don't have a lot of people outside of your network if you're moving to states far away. And we also have percentage of households with children, nearly 40% in Louisiana, and for those displaced in Mississippi, and about 30% for those community-based in Mississippi. Okay, so now we're going to look at the relationship between stable housing and mental health. And we're conceptualizing recovery using Quarantelli's framing of recovery. And he says that there are basically four ways of framing recovery. We have reconstruction, which includes rebuilding physical structures like houses or businesses. We have restoration, which includes reestablishing physical and social patterns, returning to original conditions, rehabilitation, which means restoring people, not necessarily things, And then we have recovery as a process and an outcome, which you can think of this as really a goal and a trajectory of recovery. So embedded within all of this is housing stability and recovery. Now, disaster survivors are often displaced to areas close to their homes and communities for about several days or several weeks, but Katrina was unusual in that residents frequently spent months displaced from their homes spanning across several states. And the reason why this is important is because unstable housing can delay recovery and undermine financial, emotional, and educational resilience. And yet, even though we know that these things are important, we really don't have a good understanding of how much time passes before affected residents or displaced residents are able to find stable housing following a disaster. So in order to determine how much time passes, we applied methods from survival analysis to examine this relationship between time to stable housing and several explanatory variables. So here's the first one. This is just median time to stable housing. Like I said, this uses GCAF at wave 4. So it includes 844 respondents, but it takes out people who are already in stable housing, so the N is 710. So when we look at the median time to stable housing, it's 1,294 days. This is almost 4 years, a little bit less, about 3 years, right? So this is everybody of the 710. Now let's look at it in terms of race and ethnicity. You remember from Katrina, race was a very important issue that people talked a lot about. This is a significantly different relationship for those who identified as not African American. It was a median time to stable housing was 1,204 days for African Americans, 1,386 days. So this is a difference of a pretty substantial difference of about half a year. Now let's look at child in the household. Those without children, 1,174 days. Those with children in the household, 1,416 days. Again, a significant difference. You can imagine that there are issues with trying to find adequate housing when you have a child. Maybe you need more space. And this is definitely something that within GCAF we're able to look at in terms of the effect that this might have on the child in the household. So here's a very interesting relationship, because one of the things I'm interested in is seniors, and you can see that we've divided this up into 18 to 34, 35 to 49, 50 to 65, and those over the age of 66. We often hear that seniors are a vulnerable population following a disaster, yet they have the lowest time to stable housing, about 900 days. This is a linear relationship. Those who are 50 to 65, 1,174 days. 35 to 49, 1,325 days. And those are the youngest, over 1,500 days. And this might not be terribly surprising. Younger adults typically move at a higher rate. Maybe they're more transient than older populations. But still a very interesting and statistically significant relationship. Okay, household income. Also, perhaps not very surprising, those who live below the poverty line, 1,051 days, those above, oh, maybe this is switched. I think this is supposed to be the opposite. It's supposed to be those below have a longer time to stable housing, right? Okay, so just imagine this flipped. Okay, and now let's get to mental health. So we often think that mental health is a driving force to housing stability. We can see here we use the portion of the SF-12 called the mental health composite score. Those who score below 42 on a scale from 0 to 100 are considered to have mental health distress. Those who score above 42, good mental health, a significantly shorter time to stable housing. Over 300 days. Okay, so you can think of these as bivariate relationships. So now when we put all of this together in a model, what really stands out is an independent effect on time to stable housing. So this is an accelerated failure time model using log normal distribution. And let me use my little pointer here. So you can see here we have age, and this tells you the percentage of time that either increases or decreases to the median time to stable housing. So you can see here with each additional year in age, it actually decreases the time to stable housing, or increases the time to stable housing by 1%. Here, household income increases the time to median housing, stable housing by 17%. Not a homeowner, so if you are a renter, increases median time to stable housing by 71%. Partnered, if you are unmarried or single, increases your time to median increases your time to stable housing by 12%. Poor mental health, if you have poor mental health, it increases your time by 10%. And mobility, obviously those who are highly mobile, who move many times, which a lot of people in our sample did, it increases your median time to stable housing by 8%. And so the really interesting thing here is that we might tend to think that certain individual characteristics is what is really driving people to stable housing, unstable housing, yet we see here that it's really structural factors that are driving this. So you see a very strong relationship with income, with whether or not you owned a home in the area, and also the number of times that you're moving. When things like race, the relationship drops out here. Okay, so what are some of the implications of this? Research tends to explain aspects of recovery through individual characteristics like race, class, gender. But here we see that there are very important structural aspects during recovery that we need to pay attention to. It's not just mental health, it's not just race, it's not just income, but things like homeownership status and mobility play a very large role in the time to stable housing. And like I just said, so displacement and unstable housing are related to structural issues like income and home ownership. So it's very difficult to kind of pull these apart. We have to consider everything together. So if you want more information on GCAF, just go to gcaf.org. And I should also note that we are about to embark on a new wave of going back to these people 10 years later to kind of see how they're doing. So we're looking forward to seeing how these results play out 10 years after Katrina. So thank you.